All right, we have a pair of Leaf tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Canucks on February 29th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Leaf has only played for one other NHL franchise. Little Lady Gaga coming in for Craig Button. You like that, Craig?
Oh, for sure.
On fire.
Sure. I'm going to plan my hits tonight on SC with a... Get a choreographer in here and figure out what music I want to have in the background.
Right. Well, the Leafs are practicing to different tunes, man.
Oh, yeah,
Justin Bieber was playing today, and I think Lady Gaga may have made an appearance, and that seems reasonable after a brutal loss last night.
Oh, yeah. I heard what Jeff and you guys have been talking about, and bottom at the end of the day. You know, I don't think there's... It's one thing to be a bad team or to be a team that falls short, but to your point, when you're a team with no identity...
Right.
You're faceless. What are you?
Yeah, it's like you're an opportunistic team that can beat you on the power play and you could beat you with a turnover game, but that's great if some team like Detroit doesn't show up and you can dummy them, but when the team shows up and is ready to play, what the hell do you have? And the answer is right now, it's nothing.
I totally agree. And Jake Muzzin said it a few times now. He goes, yeah, you know, we want it easy, and then when it gets hard, we can't do it, right? Like, that's Jake Muzzin. So forget about what I say.
Right.
Like, listen to the number eight on your team.
Yeah, if we're all reading this the same way, he's kind of saying, I don't know if everyone in this room really wants to fight, you know, through has to be fought.
Right.
And then Marner today said he knows they have to work on their work ethic or whatever.
We kind of didn't.
I mean, they're kind of clichés.
The
Marner comment. Why don't we play that again, okay, Craig? Because we'll get your take on this. This was after practice today. Here's what Mitch Marner had to say about work ethic and how the Leafs are approaching it.
You know, I think we all know we have the skill, but we don't have the work ethic every single night and every single guy buying it. So, skill only takes you so far, and then you know, the work ethic takes you to a whole nother level. So. Like I said, that's something that we need to be consistently better with, and we owe it to ourselves and owe it to each other in this room.
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that, but that's what Mike Babcock said for 5 years.
Casual. It's like when Austin Matthews says, you know, we got to look each other in the mirror, and then John Tavares is like, this is unacceptable. It's just, it's like crying wolf, man.
But
I don't even believe it anyway. It's just like, okay, it's unacceptable. So 2 games from now, when you lay an egg and you don't work and you throw your sticks out there and you want to play a transition game and that only, what are you going to say after that? I don't know.
Probably more cliche.
But go ahead and prove me wrong.
I hope they do that. I will say this, though, and we haven't brought this up. I blame the organization to an extent as well for not allowing these guys to ever show any emotion. They are taught right when they get here, don't give anyone any fodder, don't trust anybody, don't say anything, don't show any emotion. So this is what you get. You get a sanitized, cliched-filled room. Because they're taught when they get here. This is Toronto, man. You're not in Arizona now.
Right.
You're not in Carolina. So, you know, in a way, I almost feel like they're just following orders with the keep your emotions in check and don't say anything outlandish, even though I'd love to hear it. I'd love to see someone lose it. But then there's a big story today.
You know, well, there's a story today. So Jake Muzzin, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's gone through the grind. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listening to Jake Muzzin? He's been saying it for a while now. We want it easy. We want to play an easy game. And when it gets hard, we can't play that way. That's Jake Muzzin. I'm like you, Jeff. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm okay.
Battle Pittsburgh tomorrow night, tooth and nail, and just battle in every competition and just...
How about Austin Matthews, his first 2 shifts last night? The first one, Marner gives him the pass in the middle of the ice in the defense. So, there's a lot of game left. I'll get the puck next shift. And then he comes out later, coming back, and they end up in a long, extended shift in their own zone. That's Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought Tavares, Marner, Nylander, and Matthews.
They were awful last night.
If I'm Sheldon Keith, those guys would have, when it was 4-0 and they got that 5-on-3, I would have never put them on the ice. I would have sat them right on the bench. You guys you haven't earned the right to go out on the power play. You guys got us in the hole, and now you want me to look to you to get us out of the hole? Not happening.
Well,
and I think Sheldon Keefe better take some control and start putting some demands on this team, too.
Do you think his GM wants that, though?
Well, okay, so I can't speak for what Kyle wants or what he's done. I'm just telling you, you want to be a good coach?
Yeah.
You better put demands on the team.
I totally agree with you, and I think it starts at the top. You know, I think Dubas is responsible for a lot of this. The players are, the coaching staff, the management as well. But You know, Dubas is committed to a philosophy, a system. Look at the trade he made today. You know, he picks up another 5'9 skill guy. He's pot committed to the way he operates. Today they show up back at practice. The music's playing. The kids are on the ice. They're going down to Florida next week.
So is he committed or defiant?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think at this phase, he's probably more defiant because he believes it. He wants to believe it. He wants to see it succeed the way that he operates.
I was going to say, the only thing I can say, and you said it earlier in the 4 o'clock hour, and I believe it, this is how he's going to be. Whether they're winning or losing, this is how their organization is going to be. This is the way that they're trying, the culture they're trying to create, you know, the responsibility.
Treat people well.
The responsibilities on the players. You're going to, you know, you're going to give them a long leash to see how they work with. So I don't disrespect the consistency. Because if you've had the music, if you had all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you lose a couple big games, you take that away, then probably from their mindset is like, well, we're not establishing a consistent culture, whatever culture they're trying to put forth.
Right.
That's the only thing that I would say to, you know, music today, kids and that. Yeah. They're just
I've had
trying
meetings
to
with coaches where this is the only time I've ever spoke up, but I had to say, like, it would be lose a game, no movie on the plane, and I pull the coach aside in practice. I go, you know, we don't play for the movie, right? Like,
right.
Like, we're not kids.
No, I get
like,
that.
You really want to, like, take the movie away on the plane because we lost? Like, get serious. I understand it's big business and you got to,
but
everyone will be quiet on the bus on the way to the airport, blah, 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 but no
but
movie
what,
on the plane. We're not
Craig
children.
What Craig is saying is right. Accountability is a different thing. The only bullet you have as a coach now in today's NHL is ice time. It, like, guys are making money. Everyone makes money and all of that. But you can show up a player, whether that's the right wording or not, to go, yeah, you're not going over the boards on our first power play. You're not coming up, you know, your play has put us in a tough position. And that's what a coach has, is that accountability factor. Mm-hmm. We saw it early on. There were times, was it not that long ago? I think it was early December. Matthews played 14 minutes one night. Nylander played. Like, there was some.
Yeah, they're in Western Canada, and Nylander was skipped a few shots. Yeah, it's happened. It has,
like,
happened. But,
you know, right now, I think they're chasing it. Last night, I just didn't like their effort. Like, Pittsburgh just showed them. You said it last night on SportsCenter. Pittsburgh outworked them in every facet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. That was led by Crosby. Crosby was. Wow. Best player on the
ice. But all the players, I mean, Angelo scores his first NHL goal. Okay? Scores his first NHL goal. He's in the lineup because Malkin can't go because he's sick. So
right.
Here's a kid just waiting there, right? He's the one that backtracks on Kyle Clifford.
Mm-hmm.
Turns the puck over, goes to the front of the net and scores. Tell me who does that on the Leafs. Zach Hyman? I think Mitch Marner does that to a good extent. Who else does it?
Matthews picks his spots when he wants to do it.
You don't get to pick your spots in this league, Jeff.
No, I know that, Craig.
I know. I always say this, and as the games get more important, the teams get better. Every single play in the game is important because you do not know which play is going to lead to something positive or negative. So you got to treat every single play as important.
You know who's the best at that? One of the best that ever played at that? Marian Hossa. He backchecked and worked. And he was an unbelievably offensively gifted player.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that puck turned over, nobody ever backchecked like Marian Hossa.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys. So have you watched football practices? Do they just work on pass routes?
No, yeah, it's both sides of the ball. It's the trenches. It's special teams. Yeah.
All that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Bill Belichick, if they're going to play in the rain, he puts on the sprinklers, and they practice with wet balls
in
the sprinklers.
Like,
right.
Sheldon Keefe, I like the accountability, calling the guys out, saying that's embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. But you get dummied like that, and then it's skill development the next day of practice. Like, do you not want to teach or coach? Defense, that's the coach's responsibility. He doesn't teach these guys how to shoot the puck or score goals.
So what do we all
so
like?
What is their defensive approach? Or like, I don't even know. For 6 years, I've been trying to figure it out.
So baseball, everybody likes batting practice, right? You watch them do infield practice and do the pop-ups and do the working on their double plays every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. So, like, you want to have music. I have no problem with the music. But I said today, I want some reports of, oh, they're doing some detail work today. They're doing some positional work today. And battle drills aren't about just going in and just hitting people. Battle drills are going, we're going to fight for a puck, and we're going to battle on the puck.
Right.
You know, those are battle drills.
And sometimes there's also a lesson involved, too. If you battle during the game, sometimes you don't have to do the battle drills in practice.
I'm with you, Jeff. You know that. Like, if you did, how many coaches you guys hear?
You don't want to battle last night? Okay, you're going to do it today.
Yeah. There it is.
Oh, yeah. 3-on-3 down low all morning.
There it is. You know it. You guys have lived it. You guys have lived
it's just such a hidden bags game.
Yeah,
it's the hardest thing to do in hockey is 3-on-3 down low.
So, like, you know, like, and to your point, Jamie, like, I have no problem with the culture. But you know what? This team lacks so much detail in their play. Right, and so I have no problem with philosophies and everything, right? But I have no problem with anybody believing in their philosophies. This is a flawed team, and the composition of this team, I don't see any chance for them to contend for a cup. They might make the playoffs, and their only saving grace is that the team they're competing with, the Florida Panthers, are equal to them in terms of offense and bad defense.
Yeah,
they're equally
flawed.
Yeah.
Equally
flawed. So there you have it. So there's the silver lining for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, no, and that's the biggest disappointment I think for Leaf fans today is that the hope was and the belief was this year would be a stepping stone. Yeah. Where in reality they've stepped back.
Yes.
You know, like I felt better about them this time last year and certainly the year before than I do this year. And They can't get in. They might find a miracle and win around. Maybe two, maybe. But they're not winning 16 games in the spring the way that they're built and the way that they play. But that's not going to change between now and Monday.
No.
Either. I mean, this is an organizational, I guess, you got to recognize who you are, what you are, what you got to do.
Well,
which is also scary, the fact that we're still having a big picture conversation on the composition of the lineup.
I can't remember the terminology you used yesterday about
the behavior.
Was it behavior modification?
They need a behavior modification.
On-ice behavior modification.
And that comes back to the details. Yep. And when you're in game 61, and for the most part, this whole team has been there the whole season, like the big boys, and those details should be habits now. You shouldn't have to think about them. You should just play that way every night. And certain nights it's going to work for you, certain nights it's not going to, but you fall back on the nights where it's not going for you on your habits and on your details. They're not there. And that's what's something that if you're a Leafs fan, you're concerned about because you're watching teams with really strong details. Last night, Pittsburgh, it's Boston, it's Tampa, it's Washington. You know, Hayes always goes through the list of top-tier teams. Those, like, they're like a machine. Like, you know, they play. Like, Ovi scores one night or whatever. It doesn't happen for them. But Washington plays the same way every night.
But that's the thing. That is one thing I want to get back to here. Because a behavior change would suggest that the same people that are on the ice could effectively be a winning team if their behavior changes. That doesn't mean you need new players.
Well,
Is it new players or a new attitude?
They need some different players.
Right.
I think behavior modification is about the coach. You got to dial into the details. Scotty Bowman, you know what? I've been using this parallel. In the early 90s, go look at the Detroit Red Wings roster. Okay, just go look at it. And they had Ray Sheppard. He was a 50-goal scorer, right? Now go look at the rosters in 97 and 98 when they won the Cup. Just go look at them. Mm-hmm. You will see the difference in roster composition. It doesn't mean that Ray Sheppard wasn't a good player. It just meant you had too much of the same player. You had Dino Cicerelli and you had Ray Sheppard. They needed something different. Jeff knows. He played in the Stanley Cup final in 02 against them. He knows what it was like. We were in Dallas. I know what our team. So here's how they used to roll out. So Yzerman used to come out on the ice. Oh, yeah, there's a day at the beach. And then they'd follow it up with Fedorov, right? Okay, there's a whole different challenge. And then Larry Onoff's line would come out, and those guys would zip around the puck, and you couldn't hit them. And then when you were done, then Draper, Maltby, and McCarty came out.
Yeah.
Like, for 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 60 minutes. Yeah. They just grinded you.
With a dash of Marty Lapointe sprinkled in there.
Well, Marty Lapointe was on the one wing.
Kozlov,
Thomas Holmstrom. Thomas Holmstrom. They had Kozlov. They had Yzerman. They had different types of players in their lineup. But they didn't have all the same. And they didn't all play the same. Who on this team, I use football as an example. If you have a good offensive line and your quarterback, running back, and wide receivers aren't very good, you got no chance to be good.
Mm-hmm.
If you have really good quarterback, really good running back, and good wide receivers, and your offensive line isn't any good, you have no chance to be good, right? So it's great. You want to play skill. I love offense. But defense matters, and there's a lot of this game that's played in the trenches. I don't think they got the team that can play in the trenches. Well, that's not about thumping guys or fighting guys. It's about getting in and playing in the trenches.
They don't have the cap space to change it, though, either. I mean, not right now. And
well, you know what? You can make every excuse. A manager's job is to look at a situation and find ways to make the team better. I don't make any excuses for managers. Who created this cap space situation?
No, he did.
Oh, yeah. So now we're going to say they don't have cap space? BS. That's on the manager.
Okay.
Don't make excuses for him.
We're going to get. I can tell you where this is all going, because if they end up missing, there's going to be a full just breakdown of every single thing that happened. Yes. And I can tell you what is going to be a prevalent conversation. It'll be July 1st, 2018. That's coming up.
I agree with you, Brian.
And it's coming up a lot.
I agree with you.
And he's got the C on his jersey, and that's what, because that, you know, ultimately, you lock in $11 million, and it changes what you can do. Now, there's nothing you can do about it now. And listen, Tavares is still a great player, and I was all for the signing. If he falls into your lap, he was 27, he's still a very good player, blah, blah, blah. But that led to Matthews getting what he got, Marner, Nylander, et cetera. Now you're in the situation you're in. And we'll cross that bridge if and when we have to.
I'm never going to go back on John Tavares' comments. If he stinks in 2 years and he can't move out there, you're going to say, that doesn't look very good. But you and I were both the happiest two people in Toronto.
100%. Yeah. But it's different. It's not a shot at Tavares. That's what I think is now that the dust is settled, it's not about Tavares. It's about the $11 million and the ability to mold the 22 other spots on your roster.
Right.
Is the point. It has nothing to do with Tavares. It has everything to do with the $11 million when you're already loaded with three other guys up front that can put up numbers.
And he set the bar so high last year.
Right.
Like that's, you know, he scored 47.
And he's got the C on his jersey.
It's a lot of pressure on him, and he's a quiet leader. He works hard. Like he's not a rah-rah guy. You know, JT goes out and, you know, for the most part, I didn't think he looked great last night, but for the most part, he works really hard and he works at those details. Like he's really strong on a stick. He wins loose puck battles. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not in the room, and it's not fair for me to say. I have no idea what type of captain he is. Like, we don't know. We're not in the
room. Right.
Like, but he's a captain that leads by example. I don't think he's grabbing guys in the room and in guys' faces. That just doesn't seem like that's his nature.
No, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
But, again, it's not even about the player or what he brings. If we're talking about building the team, when Matthews and Marner and Nylander are getting paid, and you're going to, they probably didn't think when they locked in Tavares, or they weren't hoping it was going to cost them 50% of their cap when all four of them were ultimately signed. I think they were thinking, we'll get Nylander at 6, Marner at 8.5, Matthews at 10.5, and it didn't work out that way, and now they're at 50%. But anyway, what are you expecting tomorrow night, Craig? Like, you know, based on recency bias, I can't see them winning tomorrow night.
I'm shocked they're playing Freddie Anderson.
You are?
Shocked.
Why do you say that?
Because Jack Campbell's been the better goaltender. You need to win a game tomorrow. And Freddie Anderson, I don't blame him last night. The first four goals, he had no chance. The fifth goal, he created his own problem, right? Yeah. But Jack Campbell's played better than him. Don't you want to put your goaltenders playing the best in the net? Sorry, I'm not starting. I would not be starting Freddie Anderson on Thursday night.
Would you have to be prepared if you do that? That if Campbell wins, he's playing.
Absolutely,
like
I would
he's
be.
Just gonna
absolutely,
be
I would
your starter.
Be. Absolutely, I would be.
I was
merit
earlier,
system. You win, you're in.
I was saying that the fear might be, you know, Freddie, you might lose him mentally. Where he's like, okay, you want to play that?
If you lose him mentally that way, you never had him mentally. I'd rather find out right now.
The example: somebody last year had to tell Jake Allen, "You're not playing anymore."
Yeah. Bingo.
And that's
the only.
And Jake Allen's had a good year this year as a backup.
Yeah,
as his number two goalie.
Freddie Anderson's a backup.
But Jake Allen has had whatever happened last year. He's come back this year and had a good year. I'm just recognizing
but
Jake
I also,
Allen.
He's a goalie. He might know better than all of us. But I also like the idea of saying, "Look, you're our guy. Get your ass out there and win this game." I like that idea.
Well, I
because he is their guy. He is their number one goalie, and that's never going to change.
Okay, that's fine today. But you got to go into a game where he's not playing. To help to win, like he's not good, he's not playing well enough right now. So why are you not going to reward the guy that's clearly played better than him since he got here? I'm trying to win a game.
Yeah, well, that's it. Are you in the moment, one game, or are you thinking 21 games?
I'm thinking one. And if Freddie Anderson is so weak that he can't get through that, I'm glad I found out now.
All right, Noodles.
Listen,
what about Game 7 last year against Boston?
Yeah, the year before. No.
Well,
my only
I like Freddie Anderson.
It's not like Jack Campbell's won three Vezinas.
That's what I mean. Like, my only worry is at what point the bubble on Campbell bursts.
Right.
And then you got to go back to Freddie. The only thing I said that would be contradicting this, Craig, would be I didn't want Sheldon to let the guys off the hook for their effort last night.
I totally agree with that.
All of you are going back at it. Now, if Freddie struggles tomorrow night,
Saturday night's Campbell.
Like that was my mentality.
You played for Pat. You're on the team. I know you're on the team, and you guys got blown out one night. I was with the Leafs too, so why do I have to say you? Those guys, you couldn't believe how bad they were. It was unbelievable. They were embarrassing. Like, but you know, we got blown out by Ottawa. Remember that?
It happened a lot. So
no, but it got blown. Remember that? And what did Pat do? He came right back, and I believe it was in Ottawa, a couple nights later, same guys. He said, you know what? You're not as bad as you played. Remember that? You remember it.
Did they get a win the next time?
Yep. I think they lost 4. I think we lost 4-3 that night.
Okay,
but it was a good game.
I was talking to Matty Stajan about the good old days, and he's like, Jeff, I'll never forget. Whenever I had a penalty-killing question for Ricky Lee, he'd look at me and say, just read the play. You'd be like, okay.
Great advice, man.
Read the play. Steve Larmer tells a funny story. He was in Chicago real quick. Mike Keenan was coaching, and they're doing F1, F2, F3. And so Steve goes in, and he says, Mike, I'm trying to get this F1, F2. He goes, how do I know if I'm F1 or F2? He goes, Steve, if there's somebody in front of you, that's F1. You're F2. Steve goes, oh, yeah, okay, got it.
Read the play.
Yeah.
Read the play. Good seeing you, Craig.
Yeah, okay, see ya.